The first reading for All Saints Sunday is found in the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, and all the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is found in the first letter of John, the 3rd chapter. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. "Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. You know, this scripture we just read from the beginning of Matthew 5 is called the Beatitudes. That name comes from the Latin word beatus, which means blessed. So the Beatitudes are a list of people described as blessed. And I guess the first question that comes to mind when you read this list is exactly who are these people? And why are they blessed? You know, some of this doesn't make sense. How could anyone be blessed because they're meek? Or blessed because they're hungering for righteousness? Or blessed because they're poor in spirit, whatever that means? And maybe we just don't know what those things mean. But they don't sound blessed at all. I can't imagine describing someone who's actually being persecuted for righteousness' sake as being blessed. He's being persecuted. So what's the point here? The point is, despite the struggles and failures and tragedies of your life, God will somehow create good out of it all. But only as long as you're meek or adequately merciful or mourning. Is that what's required? Is that how it works? You know, I'm sure I've told this story before, but years ago when I was in seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, one summer we drove across Indiana to the southeastern corner of the state where the Wabash River separates Indiana from Illinois. We were looking for a particular little country church. This was in the days before we had, anyway, Google Maps. But with the help of some friendly locals, we found what we were looking for. Pisgah Presbyterian Church, a beautiful little brick building sitting atop a knoll overlooking the rolling farmland outside of St. Francisville, Illinois. It was gorgeous country. And behind this church was a little cemetery. And that's why we'd come looking for this place. Buried there was my great-grandmother, Daisy D. Bertrand Taylor. She died in 1901 at the age of 29, leaving behind her husband, Jesse Taylor, and her 3-year-old son, Archer Bertrand Taylor, my grandfather. Though the raised letters on the headstone were worn with a century's worth of weather, we found her grave and gathered around to read the marker. It said, Daisy D. Bertrand Taylor. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So was Daisy D. Bertrand Taylor pure in heart? In other words, did she seek God alone and put all her trust in Him? Well, I didn't know her, of course. She died more than half a century before I was born. I do remember that my grandpa kept a newspaper clipping of her obituary, though. And I remember it saying that she was a woman of good humor. She was like my grandpa. She was hilarious. And she was known to be devoutly religious. That's a good sign. She was devoutly religious, apparently. So you'd think that at least relatively speaking, she was pure in heart. But was her purity of heart adequate to see God? In other words, adequate to get to heaven? Well, that's an interesting question. And the answer is right here in Matthew chapter 5. Because the Beatitudes are the beginning of perhaps the best-known sermon Jesus ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And if we read the Beatitudes and then continue reading in Matthew 5, if we read the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, we discover something shocking. We discover that our meekness and our hunger for righteousness, our purity of heart, is inadequate. We can't get to heaven by our own righteousness or our own purity or our own meekness. Listen to what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. You've heard it said, you shall not murder. Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. And Jesus goes on, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks at another lustfully has already committed adultery in their heart. And finally, at the crescendo of his sermon, Jesus says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. The problem is, none of us can do that. We're commanded to be perfect, but we can't pull it off. I don't think any of us would argue with that. We all get angry. We all lust. And way too often we're not adequately merciful or meek or hungry for righteousness. That's why the whole purpose of the Sermon on the Mount is to point out to us that we need a Savior. You know, we love to set up this us and them, where it's those people over there who are going to hell in a handbasket. People in the gay community, or transgendered people, or abortionists, or drug users, or whoever else we like to point our fingers at. They're blatant sinners. But so am I. And so are you. That's the whole point of the Sermon on the Mount. We all need a Savior. So back to the question I asked at the beginning. Who are we talking about in the Beatitudes? Who is blessed in the Beatitudes? If none of us are meek enough or merciful enough or hunger and thirst for righteousness enough, if none of us are adequately pure of heart, who are those people Jesus lists in the Beatitudes who are blessed? The answer is, all of you who recognize your inadequacy and cry out to Christ. As theologian Michael Horton puts it, the Beatitudes don't announce a reward for those who can get themselves into a position of being adequately righteous or adequately merciful or pure in order to earn the blessings that Christ has announced. The Beatitude blessings are for the inadequate, the sinful and suffering people who simply cry out to Christ for help. Because it's only Christ who's truly pure in heart. It's only Christ who's truly merciful. It's not us. One more story, and some of you have heard this too. That years ago, I was going through a very difficult time in my life. I just graduated from college and had no idea what I was going to do next. That summer, my parents announced that they were getting divorced, which sent me on a little bit of a tailspin. I'd arranged to rent one side of a duplex with a friend, and then he got a job in the Bay Area of California and moved. So my dad announced that he was moving in with me. He was not in good shape emotionally, and it was very difficult for me to watch him go through this difficult transition in his life. In fact, I became increasingly depressed myself. My dad had always been a churchgoer, and I had grown up in the church, but really hadn't gone consistently for years. However, I had enough knowledge to remember that somewhere in the Bible there was a list of people who were blessed. And one night I decided I'd find that list and determine why they were blessed and I was not. I remember sitting alone at our dining room table very late on a Saturday night, flipping through the Bible until I finally found the list I was looking for. And I started reading. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. I was stumped. I was frustrated. I had no idea what poor in spirit meant or what the kingdom of God was. But still, I had a hunch that this was my problem. And I prayed that night that God would show me what this meant. And I went to bed about 4 a.m. 3.5 hours later, at 7:30, my dad woke me up, banging on my bedroom door, asking if I wanted to go to church. No, I didn't want to go to church. I'd just gone to bed. I was tired. But I went. It was All Saints Day. And that morning, Pastor Cy Torvund at Christ Lutheran Church explained what poor in spirit meant. Someone who is poor in spirit recognizes his or her desperate need for God. They are blessed because God will never leave or forsake those who cry out to him. Well, that makes perfect sense to begin a sermon that explains our desperate need for a Savior by promising that the poor in spirit who recognize their desperate need for a Savior will be blessed. Blessed because the kingdom of God is for those who depend on God. The kingdom of God, where the gifts of God are given, including the greatest gift, the gift of forgiveness and reconciliation and heaven. Heaven with him who created you, and where all the tears are wiped from every face. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love and compassion and mercy to us who are inadequate in terms of holiness or purity or meekness or mercy toward others. And yet you have given us Christ's righteousness and welcome us into heaven. Lord, help us to cause that truth to fill us with gratitude toward you and humility toward others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.